Excuse me, everybody. Welcome. Thank you for choosing to come to this particular seminar, especially when there's so many other great ones on, aren't there? I wanted to go to another one myself, actually. So I just want to introduce you to two people who have helped put on this whole conference, actually, and you will have seen around the place, but they're just doing such an amazing job, both setting up this thing and making it run smoothly, that I just wanted you to know who they are and for us to have an opportunity to thank them. So let me, well, why don't you introduce yourselves and what your role is so people know?
Hi, I'm Michael. I'm part of the comms team at this event. I'm just taking photos, basically.
And so you will have seen some of the fantastic photos, particularly on Facebook. Yeah. You know, I'm a bit upset I haven't seen any of me, but...
Now's your chance.
But there's been some lovely ones of Tom and Amelia, so that's okay, because they're from Newbury with me, so I'm very happy that they feature on the Facebook. So.
I'm Palumi, and I'm one of the Commission staff team members, and I'm just doing whatever needs to be done. So, yeah.
And he also helps with, well, Commission finances, don't you?
Yes, I oversee finances for Commission. I'm one of the trustees for Commission as well. Plug in the governance and leadership day.
Yeah.
If you're an elder, if you're a trustee, get booked in.
Good. Okay, you can sit down now. So I would like to introduce you to a few other people as well. If you're not from another nation, we'd really like to welcome you particularly. So who's here from another nation? Great. Please, will you come? Yeah. We want to know who you are, and we're just so happy that you're here. So, please tell us a bit, well, who you are and where you're from, and a bit about your family, because that's why we're here today.
Well, my name is Fernanda. I'm come from the church in Madrid with those two people there. Yeah. And what were the other questions?
Your family. Tell us about your family.
Well, I am not originally from Spain, so they don't live there. They live in Ecuador and Brazil. But my family in Spain is my husband now. Mm-hmm. So it's just us. Great. But I'm interested because I thought, we don't necessarily have to have kids yet to learn about this, and it could apply in different ways.
Great,
so it's
great,
very, very interesting.
Great. This lady has wisdom. Yeah. It's good, good.
Thank you. I'm Stacey, I'm from South Africa.
Great.
And I've got two boys that are 11 and 8.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Well, we're happy that you're here.
Thank you.
Tanya,
Ed.
We are from Spain, Madrid. We have two beautiful kids, Olivia 6, Lucas 8.
Great, good. Thank you so much for coming all the way from Lathrothath.
Lathrothath.
We're very happy that you're here from Lathrothath. Thank you. You can have a seat now.
Thank you.
So Beverly and I feel that a seminar should be just that. So a seminar with us is not me. You'll be glad to know, you know, speaking for the next hour. You'll hear some things from me, you'll hear some things from Beverly, and we want to hear some things from you as well, because parenting, you know, it's not a straight line, is it? You might have noticed that. It's not a straight line and then it comes to an end and you've learned everything. We're just all learning together, aren't we, about whatever phase of parenting you're in, whether you don't have children yet, whether you are expecting, whether you have an infant, whether you have preschool, school age, young people, grandparents, we're all learning together. So we're going to draw on the wisdom in the room, because we think that's what a seminar should be about. So Beverly's going to start by telling you a bit about our family, for those of you who don't know about our family, which is most of you.
Mm-hmm. Hi, I'm also just wondering why you chose to come to this seminar. Was it the title, which was wrong, the picture, which was us in fancy dress, or the which was a bit of a joke? I'm Beverly and Mark, and we live in Newbury in West Berkshire. And I'm 58, and Mark is 62.
Thanks for that.
And we've been married for 37 years.
Woo!
We were married at the what's now called Welcome Church.
Mm.
was called the Coin Church there, and that's actually where I was born. So I've been in New Frontiers since the day I was born.
Wow.
I'm a New Frontiers babe.
Definitely a babe.
Yeah, we have four children. They are adults, obviously. So my oldest boy is Adam, and he lives in Canada, Toronto, with his wife and two little girls. And they are part of a big church out there, and he's on the eldership, and they lead the young adults and a small group, and his wife is like the church administrator for all the children's work. So they're fully engaged and stuck in Canada. And we put the nations in when they were young, so I had to just suck it up, you know, they're going to go live in Canada. But I have a second boy, his name's Joseph, and he's married to Megan, and they live in the Brighton area, and they are... they're a great, lively Anglican church down there, and they do kids' work and stuff. But they also have a kombucha factory.
Oh, that's so cool.
It's called Holos. You can follow them online, and all of their profits and any money they make go to an anti-trafficking charity, and that's their real heart and vision. Holos means wholeness, and so the whole sort of setup is very based on Christian principles. And they have Hephzibah and Moses, and they're expecting in 6 weeks. Three more grandchildren there. And then my third boy, he is called Thomas, and he lives in Farnham, and he works in a school as part of the grounds team. So he looks after sports turf and sports equipment. He's mad on football, and talks about that and God, basically. He's fully involved in the Farnham Church, which is led by Sean and Haley Gough. And he leads in youth, and he helps with all practical things, and yeah, so he's Thomas, he's doing great. And our daughter, do keep going for a girl, she is in Winchester, she and her husband lead the worship team there, and yeah, they love to sing and play instruments and lead people in worship, and she also helps in a lot of the comms and admin side. She's got a business degree and she just loves to organise. And they are loads of fun. They're in half an hour away, so I get to see my little grandson, Ezekiel, quite regularly. So yeah, that is an update of where we are, and we're leading the church in Newbury. We've been there 9 years. We church planted there from scratch. A couple of great miracles and just arrows where God said, okay, I've got this for you to do next. So it's an exciting time just leaving the church we were in and starting again. And yeah, we did it with Phoebe. She's since moved on, but that's where we are now. Any more information?
Unless there's anything else you would like to ask, Beverly.
Okay, so we've always been in church leadership. We were youth leaders. Mark was the youth pastor for 10 years, and we church planted out of that. So we've always been in church ministry.
Great. Okay, thank you. So what will happen is we'll... I think I can keep using this one come time. Yeah, thank you, Palumi. So a couple of anecdotes in terms of what Beverly said, just to, because we keep throwing out anecdotes, just because they're helpful, aren't they? Particularly when you're in parenting and grandparenting or soon to be a parent. So anecdote number one is, let's just get rid of the guilt in the room, shall we? Because church leaders mostly feel guilty about parenting. You know, we just don't think we're doing well enough, and we just don't think we're doing it good enough, or we think that other people are watching us, they think that other people are judging us, and let's just deal with the guilt, shall we? This room is just full of grace, okay? We're not going to tell you here what to do things, we're not waving a stick this morning, we are commiserating with one another and say, yeah, it's difficult being a parent and a parent in church leadership as well. So let's get rid of the guilt, okay? The other one is, for those of you who have little ones, we really don't mind having little ones in a meeting. We really don't mind a peep and a squawk and a noise and a burp and a cry and a shout. That really is okay. It really is okay. We want our meetings and our church places to be safe places for a mum with three kids, don't we?
Yeah.
I was talking to one of our mums like that recently, and she said, I said, how was it? How was it for you? I'm just really interested in how was this morning? How was it? She said, well, I'm a bit amazed, really. I said, what are you amazed by? She said, well, my three-year-old ran around and he didn't seem to care. She said, I did go to another church and I just felt so bad because they were looking at me and glaring and tutting at me, but you didn't seem to care. I said, no, we don't really. We're just glad that you're here. We're just happy that you're here. So let's be safe places of lots of grace for single mums with little ones or mums and dads with little ones. It's just hard being a parent of little ones, and little ones have energy and little ones sometimes run about, and that's okay. Yeah. It really is. It really is okay. So that's anecdote number one. Anecdote number two, just to let you know how it's been difficult for us as well in church leadership. So one day, one of the other leaders in the church asked to see me. He said, I'd like to meet you for coffee. I said, okay, yeah. So we met for coffee, kind of chat. And I said, is there anything else? He says, yes. He said, your son Tom is appallingly badly behaved and is a really bad example. And we'd like you to discipline him more. We think that you haven't got him under control. And he just went on for a while, and I was just completely devastated, actually, because he has autism, and Sunday mornings were his worst possible thing, with lots of people, lots of noise, lights, lots going on, and pressed all those buttons. And to be honest, we were struggling. You know, we were struggling to know how to deal with that, how to cope with that ourselves. And so for another leader to tell me how badly behaved he was and that we should get him under control, you know, sent me into a real kind of spin, to be honest. So I'm just letting you know, we haven't got all the answers to this, and we've wrestled with this as well. Now, the good news is now he's in a smaller church where there's less going on, and it's a bit quieter, and he's happy, and he's serving and doing really well. But it was a very difficult time for us having someone on a child in the autistic spectrum, and Sunday mornings are just a nightmare. just a nightmare for a child like that, really. So we do have sympathy with those of you, because in a room like this, it's only a small room, but we know there'll be some in this room who, you know, you might be on the spectrum. Or you might have a child on the spectrum. So we do have some sympathy and understanding for that as well. Another little anecdote, just so again, we haven't got it all sussed, and we're not here how to tell you to do it. The church where we were before in Camberley met in a school, and it was a large school, and I used to dread Monday mornings, because on Monday mornings, I would get the photographs of the Sunday and a report from the Sunday and the things that we had done wrong. I don't know if this has ever happened to you. And so I'd be like, I kind of have a cold sweat at 9 o'clock on Monday morning. What's going on? And then one morning, this photo came back of one of the classrooms, one of the senior teacher classrooms, okay? A group of the children were in the classroom watching a boy stand on this senior teacher's desk and do an open back somersault off the table, and they caught him midair doing this open back somersault. And the picture came through, and I just thought, oh no, that's my son. So I had to call him. I said, Joseph. Straight face, Joseph, you just can't do that. You know, you can't go into a teacher's classroom and just take liberties like that and stand on the desk, jump around in the place. It's on the camera, they sent me the picture. But son, I have to say, that was a fantastic somersault. So to be honest, we're just like you. We're just trying to work this out, because it's parenting is an imperfect art. It's an imperfect art. Okay. Normally in a seminar, you kind of present your material, And then you have the Q&A. Okay, so we thought, actually, we'd like to do that the other way around. So we like to do the Q&A first, mm-hmm. and then we'll do some material. So while you're thinking about a question, because you will have come here with some questions, haven't you? Some questions, some struggles, which we will look at together in just a moment. So whilst you're thinking about one or two questions, and Bev is going to tell you a little bit more just about our kind of family story, really.
Okay, so yes, I mentioned that we were at the Coin Church, or what is now called Welcome Church, and Mark was the youth pastor, and the youth was about 60 or 70 kids, and Mark was very busy with that, and I had small children. So juggling that sort of was that we had to sort of constantly reassess, are we doing this well? Mm-hmm. You know, am I being a good mummy? Are we being a good family? Are you being a good youth pastor? And I think constantly looking at where you're at and not getting too stuck in your rut. This is how we do it, this is what we do, let's just get on with it, even if it's tough. Mm-hmm. So it's constantly. And we had an elder and his wife look after us, so we had checkups mm-hmm. with them. They had four children who were like teenagers, so they were in touch and they were very kind to us and helped us a lot. And we still see them and love them very much. And so overseers, really important. And then as a young family, we went on to training about church planting. We were excited by that. We thought, yeah, that's something we'd like to do one day in our life, yes. So we did some training and we talked about it and we read the books. And the first book that changed our life was one called Coping with Criticism. Mm-hmm. Anybody in leadership needs to read that book to learn about how to have grace for people. So that was a really intense but fun time. And it sort of was different for me looking after toddlers at home to then, you know, having real significant meetings about how to move forward with church planting. And at that point, New Frontiers was really, you know, pushing, this is how we're going to build churches. We're going to plant. We're going to start from scratch. We're going to go to a town that doesn't have a Word and Spirit church, and we're going to plant one. Mm. So we were very excited about that. That's like in the early 90s. And then we did just that. We planted. Now, Mark first was like, I'm on the front foot with this. This is the call. There was prophetic, there was a letter, there was a meeting. It was all like, yeah, this feels like this is our time. And I was like, okay. And for me, the cost was leaving my church that I'd grown up in, my youth group and youth leaders, elders who I loved and knew so well. I was mm-hmm. very comfortable. I had three little boys, so they were about seven, five, and one, two. And I was like, oh my goodness. I'm going to take them from this church where everything is super organized, super slick, provided for them, teams for everything, youth groups. I'm going to take them to a church with just us, you know? That's actually punishing them. That's not a nice thing to do. That is really sad. And I had to really get before God and say, I don't know if I can do that. That is too hard. Please, anything but that, you know? But when you meet God in your suffering, when you come to God and say, my heart is willing, but my flesh is weak, please show me. Mm. Obviously, he takes you by the hand and he leads you gently, doesn't he? And you say, well, this is how it's going to happen. And I'm going to look after you and I'm going to help you. And once you make a decision that's right for you, the feelings sort of follow. And God honors that and lets everything fall into place behind you, doesn't he? He knows that. So we make our decisions according to what God's told us and called us to do. And then we let our feelings come in afterwards. So that's exactly what happened. I was like, okay, I'll do it. We'll go. That's fine. And I was like, send people, Lord. And not only did he that, but the other promise that he gave me was that my kids would grow up and know God and love God and not have seasons of rebellion and anger towards God because of this. And I asked God to teach us how to do family life alongside leadership without sacrificing or compromising in each of those areas. So we started that journey. That was 1995, and we planted in Camberley, and immediately a family joined us and had a girl and a boy the same age as our boys. And I was like, thank you, Lord. And she and this me and this other mum, we took them out each Sunday. We did Bible stories and singing and dancing and acting and all sorts to help them. And sure enough, before long we had a toddler group. With the younger one, I was able to start a toddler group. And then I could network with families and we can talk about what sort of culture we wanted to have in our church. Every church is different. Nobody's got it right. We're just doing our best. We're just seeking God, aren't we? And loving one another, doing life together. And I urge any of you with young children to hang out with the family in the church that are doing it really well. Have them over on a Saturday afternoon, go for a walk, have a picnic, have tea together, watch a movie together, share snacks and stuff, and just ask them questions. one of the brave things we did before we left Woking was we house shared. We literally bought a house with another family because we wanted to do community living, and the four adults wanted to be at more stuff at church. Mm. With five under four, we just needed to babysit together. We just needed to live together. So we asked God to show us how to do it. We had three amazing years, and it knocked all the edges off us. It was very good for us, and it was very good for the children. I learned lots about the things that I was not very good at that she was very good at. Mm. And she learned things that I was good at and she wasn't. And the guys were great. And one of the disappointing things was Tim was a really good cook. But things like that, be alongside the families that do you good, and also the weaker ones who you want to do them good. Yeah. You know, take them out for lunch, bless them, babysit for them, help them go on the marriage course or the parenting course by babysitting. Yeah, do family life together. Most things I learned was being with other families. You know, I can spout forth on what we did and what worked for us. Some of it worked, some of it didn't. But praise God, I had a church family supporting me, championing me, praying for me, organising stuff that I could engage with. So yeah, that's our story of how we left working with church party. Anything else you want me to say about that?
No, anything you'd like to ask Beverly about that? So to be honest here, I just do need to correct something Beverly said, in that it knocked all the edges off her. Certainly didn't knock all the edges off me, but it was a really good experience. But Beverly's quite right. It was a real shock. It was a family shock to move from 500 people in Woking to 15. So we know what it's like to be the only family when it's just your kids. You know, we know what that's like. Mm-hmm. We really do. And you know, when you're church planting and you're passionate about children and you've just got a few.
It's just
tough, isn't it? Yeah. For those of you who don't, well, you just want to explain about your setting, Becky, because not everybody will know about your setting. You would say about your family and your setting, just so everybody knows.
Great. I'm church planting. I was in Bristol with Cunninghams and various others, so I did the big church thing. I took my kids out of the big church, kids' work and all of the very polished thing, and came to the very little thing where there was us and another family.
That's it.
To do the same thing. So by God's grace, we have kids in the church who are a similar age to our kids, which again means there's something of the same age, there's friendship in that. But it, you know, I guess from a church plant perspective, that means our kids are there from 9 and they leave there maybe by 1:30. So by the time church actually starts, they've already fallen out with everybody else. and so by the time you get them out to kids' work, you're already unpicking all the problems that have happened. So yeah, there's church planting in the raw.
Yeah, it is. But it doesn't stay there.
Amen.
It doesn't stay there. It is really hard at the beginning. I was like, oh my goodness, what have I done? It's 15. That was my small group in Woking. There's 15 in the church. What am I doing to poor Beverly? What am I doing to my poor children? Bringing them out of the security and blessing of this fantastic all singing and dancing children's ministry of 250. And there's 15 of us in the church. So I remember my son saying to me after a few weeks, Dad, I don't like our new church. I haven't got any friends. And I said to him, son, I don't like our new church either. And I haven't got any friends. We're going to have to pray. You and me are going to have to pray. We're going to have to pray that God grows our church and gives us friends. So they saw that church grow from 15 to 250, and they had a lot of friends. So when we left, it was really hard for us to leave because we had so many friends. And it didn't seem that long ago that my son and I were saying what we said right at the beginning, I don't like my new church and I haven't got any friends. But by the end of it, it was completely different. We didn't want to leave. We didn't want to leave because we had so many friends. So you won't stay there, Emilio, Tanya. You won't stay. You won't stay there, Becky. That's where you are now, but you won't stay there. So Q&A now before we get into the material. Are there any questions, burning questions that you came with to this seminar thinking, oh, I hope they talk about that. Okay, tell us who you are and where you're from and what your question is.
Hi, my name's Christian and I'm from Bristol. This is my wife Michelle. She is also with me in Bristol.
Good
church.
That's just how we roll. I was wondering if you would have any really good tips for the best ways to do family devotions. What does it look like? What has worked for you guys? And also, on the back of that, how might you best work that for the individual children? Because our children are very different as well in their likes and dislikes and what they enjoy. So just really some of your wisdom, as I'm sure you have a lot, around devotions.
That's such a great question, and I'd love to hear in the room about this actually, because what Beverly and I did, to be honest, is a little bit out of date now because there's so many other really great resources. I'm sure you're using them already. I mean, even the resources online now, you know, and some of the videos, and some of the TikToks. Not that I'm suggesting that you use TikToks with your children, but just some of the online resources are just kind of terrific, aren't they? But for Beverly and I, we would do it ourselves. So we made a decision that every day, that I'm just saying this is what we did. I'm not saying this is right. So, and then we'll open it up because we'll learn from each other. So for us in our house, it was 7:30 every morning. I wanted everybody at the breakfast table, and we'd start off with a Bible story, with a devotion. And we would follow that with what's happening that day. So what are you doing that day? This is what mummy's doing. This is what daddy's doing. Go around the table. What are you doing? What would you like us to pray for? Is there anything you're worried about today? And then we pray for the day together, pray for each other. And then to be honest, we do that again at the end of the day as well. So I'd make sure I was always home for tea, even though the demands on us are such that we have these crazy lives, don't we, where we're kind of, let's be honest, on call all the time, aren't we? But I made a decision. I was always going to be home for tea and nothing was going to interrupt. And I made a decision. I wasn't going to answer the phone between when I got home and bedtime. I'm sorry, I'm not available then. I'm only available to my family during that time. And so we would do it all in reverse as well. At the end of the day, you know, so how was your day? We prayed about this, and let's pray for you tonight as well. So for us, that's how we did it. Now, I have to say, being married to a creative, let's just say that when we did the Bible stories, it didn't always mean that we read them sitting down. Okay? So we would often end up enacting the Bible story. So those stories that lend themselves, which a lot of Bible stories do. So we would have just enormous fun, you know, particularly with the obvious ones, you know, with Jericho. You know, we would make a house and it would fall down and we would shout and we would just make a mess, really, to be honest with you, make a mess. Or, you know, particularly in the Gospels, you know, we would enact, you know, the fishing, and we would enact the parables to bring them to life, because I wanted, even my daughter Phoebe now will always say to Dad, you always said make the meeting memorable, you know. So I wanted to make everything memorable. So those Sunday mornings were memorable, but Monday morning was memorable. I wanted there to be something that was memorable about what we're doing and of our devotions. And often for a child, an action makes it memorable. And Beverly would do all kinds of wonderful creative things to make those Bible stories come alive. Is there anything you want to say about the devotions? And then I'd love to hear from some other people.
The reality that there were days it didn't happen. Yeah. You know, as much as we wanted that to be our normal, that of course there's days where there's children sick, there's an emergency miles away, there's stuff going on, but we always would do that if we could do it. So it was in our hearts and our minds to make it happen every day. And especially if it didn't happen in the morning, it needed to happen at night, or if it happened, you know what I mean, to sort of have that. And children thrive on a routine. If they know what's expected going to happen and what's expected of them, they can start to lock into that and respond to that. And then kids who would like walk to school with them would sometimes join in as well. We'd have them around the breakfast table as well, asking questions and joining in. So we lived on a sort of ex-council estate, and kids were walking past, and we just include them in whatever was going on. They would ask funny questions. So that's the ideal, was to do it every morning and night. But in reality, sometimes it didn't happen. But there's grace for that, isn't there? Hallelujah, there's grace for that. It wasn't so good this morning. Let's just try again today, shall we? But let's not say, oh, we're out of the habit of that. Oh, God, that's too much work. Oh, they're so crazy in the morning. I'm not going to do that. Okay, every day is an opportunity to start the routine again, try again. And if it's very short, that's fine. But sometimes you have to let them start exploring and expressing and sort of go with it, and maybe you're a bit later for school or you forget things, but actually you've had quite a moment at breakfast time. They've had a little revelation, or they wanted to share an answer to prayer or a worry, and you have to sort of go with that a bit as well, don't you? So flexible, full of grace, but also leading well. In our house, we had a big pine table with like farmhouse chairs around, and when we bought these farmhouse chairs, the Lord showed me a carver. So that's a chair with arms, And it was like twice the price of all the others. And I said to Mark, I want to buy that chair. I want it to be your chair at the table. And I wanted it to honour Mark and just put him in the priest place in his home. And none of the children ever sat in it. It wasn't like, oh, it doesn't matter. Mark never said, oh, it doesn't matter, let them sit in it. It was a way of sort of outwardly working. There's somebody in charge here. This is the person you can rely on and go to. And this is his chair. So that was just a little thing that was important to me.
So what I didn't twig for a little while was that there was a boy called Nick who lived around the corner, and he kind of stumbled in early because he had walked to school with one of our kids and joined in. Well, he just kind of sat and listened and watched, actually. And so we prayed for him as well that morning. And then what was interesting was he came the next morning, and the next morning, and the next morning. And then he came to the youth group, and then he came to church, and then he gave his life to Jesus. And it started with him coming to a morning devotion around our breakfast table. So you just don't know what God's going to do. You just don't know what God is going to do. Christian, how about you? Tell us what you do in your home.
So we always do devotions just before going to bed. When I say it, we always do. We frequently do.
Frequent's good.
And what we tend to find is that our younger one really engages with it. Loving Bible app on the phone, we use that quite a lot.
Good.
And then I do lots of little questions with him. And actually, the older one tends to sort of slide in after we've started and start taking interest in it. And actually, another thing we've done is a Bible trivia quiz thing.
All right, yeah.
The older one really loves that.
Good, good.
He just starts to engage with them, there's questions, and then that brings conversations off the back of it. And so those tend to be the main ways in which we do that. We have done acting out stories and things like that. But again, the older one he's nine, and he just starts to roll his eyes a bit now. Whereas the little one's like, yes, tries to put everything on, guns and everything, Darth Vader helmets to do it all.
Yep.
Which is fine. So,
great metaphor for sin, rebellion.
but I think that just again highlighting part of my question is just the difference between them.
Yeah.
And then just trying to work out how do I do devotions in a way that will captivate your heart for Jesus, and how do I do it for you.
Great.
And then looking for a way how we all do it together.
Good, excellent, very good. Eduardo, Tanya, how about you? With an 8-year-old and a 6-year-old, how is it kind of working for you, the kind of devotions thing?
That's interesting. I mean, so we normally do also at night, we have a nighttime routine where we read some of you might know the Action Bible, which is like basically a 1,000-page comic book of the Bible. And so we will read it together. We're actually going through it for the second time now. And we'll read the story, we'll pray about whatever we feel like God has talked to us about, and then we will pick a song to sing together before turning off the lights and going to bed. One of the things that happens often is that our daughter, who is 6, she's like not interested. She just she's like a teenager and she's 6 years old and she's just like, I'm not interested. And so she'll just like lay down but we kind of just let her be and not like make a big deal about it. We'll try to involve her and ask her, and sometimes she's more involved, sometimes she wants to pray, sometimes she's like, I don't want to pray today, and we just kind of let it be. And but also at the same time not try to like overly praise or raise high our son for being super engaged, because we know that that can also become like an idol for him, where he feels like he's the good boy, and his sister is the bad girl. And we don't want them to grow into these like roles that they're playing. Mm-hmm. So we try to be careful with it, but basically that's what we do. I do love the idea of like doing something more dynamic in the morning. I love to be silly with my kids and make them laugh, and so it's doing Bible stories can be a good way. And our daughter would probably engage a lot more with that. She likes when her dad is making a fool of himself. Mm.
So. Funny that. Yeah. Funny. Yeah, good. Thank you, Eduardo. Becky, any other kind of tips that you what do you do in your home?
For us, it's the daily grind is hard. Whilst we would pray and maybe read a story with them at bedtime, we found actually Saturday mornings are a much more meaningful moment. We can cook a fancy pancakes and all the stuff, and food grips kids, right? So
yes,
that's quite a good one that brings us around the table together on a Saturday morning and to do something more meaningful together then. So that's where we would tend to do more in the way of prayer and more of a regular pattern there. And likewise, that often includes other people visiting for the weekend.
Great.
You're part of that too, or, this is a moment we're having food. The other thing I've found has worked for us has been to do it on a day after school, where there's not after school clubs or something. And so my kids call them Thursday activities, because Thursday just happened to be the day where I had the most time in the day to prep something to do with them after school. Again, they love it best when that's something like a treasure hunt, where they've got to go and find Bible verses around the house and work together, or competition or something dynamic, and then bring it all back together. That kind of, I really, really don't like craft, which I know is really, really bad as a kids worker, but normally involves them getting something out, and together we end up making, or, devotionally wise, into something in that moment. So they've gone, they've set running around chaos and Bible verses, and so that kind of consolidates into a meaningful activity that we can do together.
Great.
While they're painting a rainbow and talking about the promises of God, or whatever that might be.
Excellent. Very good. Yeah.
If you haven't come across the Parenting for Faith material, I would highly recommend it. It's a free online material. You have to create an account, but it's all free. And basically, it's videos that talk you through how to parent for faith alongside your daily routine.
Yeah. Great.
So I think in the same way that we wouldn't solely rely on a Sunday morning, we can't put it all on a breakfast Bible study for our kids. Yeah.
Good,
Through the day, it has to be side by side with what you're doing through the day. And that's how we sort of started our family. It has now evolved to a breakfast time study. And I think when it comes to that, the two things I've really found for me is to let go of my expectation of my children's interaction.
Yeah.
So how I expect them to
behave.
Very good. And how I expect them to come out with all the right answers or even engage.
Yeah.
I needed to let go of that.
Yep.
So one morning, I have 2, 5, and 8-year-old, And it's the routine of doing it, like you said, the routine of speaking about Jesus, of meeting with Jesus, of putting him first in the day, over and above the, did they get the right answer? Did they outwork what we were talking about? Did they remember the story from Monday?
Mm.
It's that kind of, that regularity, I think.
Good. Great.
And also for our family, my husband's out at 7, not home till 6.
Yeah.
So we had to let go of that, you know, early parenthood idea that the father did the Bible study.
Yeah.
And actually I do most of the stuff with the kids.
Great, great.
We've kind of had to just roll with
Well
that.
Done. Of course you do. Yeah. Very good, very good.
Well, thinking about what we do at home, that's something that it's normally in our everyday talks throughout the car or when they come up. Well, we have like a mission for our house that we all part of the same mission and we're all part of the same vision, and everything that Eduardo and I are involved in church, we bring the kids together. So it's not what we're gonna do, it's like what we as a family are gonna do. Mm. So they have that mindset that we're all serving, and when we go to church in the morning, we're prepping everything, like Becky, we arrive earlier than everyone and leave the last ones. It's always why we're doing this, what are you gonna do today to help? We should, let's see, if a new kid come in, what questions are you gonna ask, and try to involve them with the mission that God gives, because we do believe that the mission is not Eduardo and mine, it's like God gave our kids and it's for the four of us.
It's very good, very good. So let me just give you a tip at this moment, which you will have thought about anyway, but I'm going to say it out loud. Seize the crisis moments for discipleship.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Mm-hmm.
So let me give an example of that. So we were on holiday, and the phone went, and I wasn't normally going to answer the phone on holiday, it rang 3 or 4 more times. I thought, so I picked up the phone, and it was the police, and the police said that we'd been burgled in our house, and that they had ransacked our house, and they'd stolen the car and torched it. And that wasn't a great phone call when you're on holiday.
No.
I should also say that 2 days before that, I was still dealing with the fact that my mother had suddenly died. So we went on holiday the same day as my mother died, and then 2 days later, were burgled and the car stolen. And so it was a moment in time. It was, you can imagine, it was a real moment. So I did what I do on the Sunday, you know, every morning, 7:30, and I said to the children, I explained to them what happened, that it was the police on the phone, and that, to be honest, I don't know what we're going to find when we get home. We need to prepare ourselves for the worst. They've been through every room in the house. So every room is probably going to be untidy. Your bedrooms are probably going to be untidy. They've stolen the car. They even stole half a bottle of sherry. I mean, and the ice cream from the freezer. I mean, wipe out, okay? Complete wipe out. And I said, but we must remember this. Job was a man in the Bible who had lots of things and then lost them all.
Mm-hmm.
But he said this. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so whatever has happened, we've lost Granny, we've lost lots of things in our house, we've lost the car, but we are still going to say, blessed be the name of the Lord. And as you can imagine, that everything made a big impression on the children. And when we got home, chaos, awful, they'd even smashed Phoebe's piggy bank, didn't they? I mean, you know, little girl's piggy bank, smashed her piggy bank. So it was havoc, chaos, you know, for a couple of days really, with the police and CSI around. So that was really difficult. And what was really, really difficult was the boy who led the gang who did it was the boy, another boy that we had befriended and taken him to church, taken him to youth group. We took him to Stoneleigh. He knew we were away and brought his mates round that night. So all of it was just tough. it was just tough for us all.
Just leading on from that, and leading on from that just made me think, following what you said there, having your faith on show in the good and the bad is really important to them. Otherwise, they're going to think it's just a magic prayer. You said, and all they hear about is the great answers to prayer. That's just what we prayed for, and look, the God's done it. Mm-hmm. And I can remember having going through a really tough place, like, everything I pray, God's not there, he's not listening, he's not interested in me, he's not interested in my prayers. We have to sort of talk about how God answers prayer, and often it's not how we think he should answer it. When it's tough, that's really important to take them on that journey with you. Obviously, you've got to shield them a little bit, but at the same time, they've got to know when you're feeling like sad or disappointed or, someone's left the church and they were your friend and we're really sad about that. Mm. And they have to see that your faith is real. It's not all just a magic wand and everything's lovely and hunky-dory.
So we've got 10 minutes. I really am going to show you the material now. Because I think I made some slides like months ago, Palumi. I can't even remember what they are now because it was such a long time ago. But you'd like to see them, wouldn't you?
Yes.
I would. I'd like to see what I wrote. So let's find them. Okay, so here we are. Oh. Can you do that? Your magic thing for me, Palumi. While Palumi's doing that, are there any other kind of burning questions that you... Oh, okay.
How did you help your kids navigate pressures of being a leader's kids, particularly in the teenagers, maybe expectations around serving? Mm. I mean, I grew up in a pastor's family, but in another culture, which was very glass house style culture. I just wondered if it was different here and did your kids face similar stuff?
Mm. That's a great question. So how... Just give us a clue, Priscilla. How did you find it there, and how are you finding how it was there, and how are you finding it now?
I mean, I just don't want to repeat the mistakes that I went through. And I was just like, my kids are entering that kind of season of life, and I was just like, working through what I worked out and my own encounters with God, and then having my own journey of faith.
Yeah.
But now sitting on the other side of it, how my kids responding to a very platform-based ministry that we might have.
And
work it out for them. I just need some wisdom from your
school. Yeah. So what's... I'm just trying to tease out for you. What are you finding the most challenging thing about that scenario?
I just want to know, what were the pressures your kids faced? Did they face it? Did they not? Is that not a thing here?
So to be honest with you, as with all your children and our children, because the children are different, they handle that pressure differently. Don't they? So I remember more than once, one of our children saying to us, "Dad, I just don't like being the pastor's kid. I just don't like being the pastor's kid." So you've got one who's saying that. You've got another one who's saying, "I like being the famous family." So we're trying to navigate kind of both. One of them is resenting it, and the other is reveling in it, depending on their kind of personality, where they are themselves in their comfort zone as the disciple of Jesus. Obviously, like you, we're trying to diffuse that all the time, aren't we, as leaders? That we're just mummy and daddy, and you're trying to diffuse the leadership thing all the time, don't you? Having said that, I always said to Beverly, and I always said to my children, our home isn't just a place for mummy and daddy and children. Our home is a leadership school, and so I would tell that to my children, and I would often give them leadership lessons. So my children, even now, my daughter will, often recite to me. She said, "You always taught me, Dad, that the first and most important leadership lesson is self-leadership." And so, because that's what I tell my children, that's where it starts, self-leadership, how you lead yourself. So having said to you, Priscilla, we're trying to diffuse kind of being, mummy and daddy pastors, we're still teaching them leadership for life and leading them for life. But I can't, and none of us can say this is an easy one, Priscilla, because it just isn't. It just isn't. And there's no kind of magic turn on and turn off thing. So have you got any wisdom on this one? How are you finding it, the kind of leadership, mummy, daddy thing?
It can be quite exposing at times.
Yeah. Sorry, do you want to just say who you are and where you're from?
I'm in Camberley. I've got three kids, 11, 8, and 6. I've also, my youngest boy has autism and ADHD, and can be quite a handful. Mm. So that place, we're trying to work that out ourselves as well, but it can be quite an exposing place.
Yes.
You're looked as the model family. This guy's one of our pastors here, and should he be able to do that? So we're constantly trying to model appropriate vulnerability in front of people as well, letting them know that it's okay if your kids are struggling as well. So and our kids do struggle. Our eldest, who doesn't have autism, but is a real sensitive soul, and so she can have a lot of emotion stuff that's going on as well.
Mm.
So I think we do live in glass box sometimes, we're looked upon, but I think it's really good if people can see that vulnerability. And that you can still serve as well, because sometimes people write themselves off as being able to be servants or be able to get involved because my family's not good enough or I've got too much on. We try and do it and we can't.
Don't we all?
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I haven't forgotten your question, but I am going to do my notes in 5 minutes. So you're going to see my... You're going to see my 7 slides in 5 minutes, because you'd like that, wouldn't you?
Yes.
You would. Okay, I've got 6 more slides. Here we go. Here's my first tip. Okay? This is it. Look after your marriage. The best mum and dad, look after each other. One of the things Beverly and I made a decision earlier on was once a year, we would have a weekend away. Every year. Just one night away. And so we enable other parents to do that now, you know, because we can do that for them. Because it's just really difficult when you've got 2 little ones. How on earth are you going to have a weekend away? It's just tough, isn't it, organising it? But we thought, you know what? We've just got to have 24 hours away just to invest in our marriage. So that's Mark's tip.
Yeah, don't be afraid to ask another church family to have your kids for the weekend. They would probably really like to do that. They're probably a little bit like, oh, that's going to be tough. I'd quite like to do that. It will be a learning place for all of you. Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't pick up the microphone then, but that's okay. Eat together. I mean, I know that you'll all be doing this anyway in terms of making that a priority. Make it a priority. And we had number 10 rules about the phone as well, and we still do. You don't have the phone at the table. This is just our time together, because apparently they do that at number 10 Downing Street. Yeah, just so you know. Yep, that's where we got that from. We've got nothing that's original, by the way. And when the chips are down, I know this is controversial, is family first. True story, I'm embarrassed about it. True story, New Frontiers pastor at his wedding said, I'm just so embarrassed by this, said, the church will always be my first love and the church will always come first. And I just thought, do you know what? I don't think that's a great thing to say. I don't think that's a great start to your marriage. I don't think you should say that to your wife or to anybody else or say it at all. I just don't think that's a great thing to say. I would say when the chips are down, your family comes first. They really do. Your children are your first sheep. Give yourself first to them. I know it's controversial, but I think you'll agree with me. Here we are, Bev's tip for family life. Bev, you've got 60 seconds for all of this.
Go on then, I love it. Okay. Well, marriage, you've already said. Prioritise time together. Date night. Having fun. Being silly. You know? Just making sure your home is a fun place to be and your kids want to be there and they don't want to go. Okay, so we've talked loads about children of all ages, taking them on a journey with us, but including them in what happens in your home is important, yeah? Like, how are you finding, like, early morning devotions? Are they too long, too short, too silly, too serious? And then how you might get some feedback, let them have a voice, let them organise once. Actually, could you organise it tomorrow or whatever? I remember once I asked the older two to put the once a few times, woke up one. The older two to put the younger two to bed. So one did three and two did four. And I was asking, because they're quite competitive when they get to like 11, don't they? So I was like, right, okay, so I want two stories, warm milk, a silly game, and some tickling, and right, go. Oh my goodness. They loved it. The older two loved it, and the younger two loved it. It was such a score. Lots. I did it on Sunday sometimes, you know.
That's amazing.
It was good.
You got 10 seconds.
Keep going, Ben.
Church. Okay, so Mark was on the platform right from early on when they started calling. They want to get out of your lap and go and join them on the platform. I had to draw a line. I was like, guys, you can do whatever you like, but you can't cross that line. And we had to make that a real thing, because then the old ones could then help the young ones. Don't go to the line. Of course they want to go up and join in and touch things and be on the platform. Church, food, something about food. Okay, so my rule at the table is eat it or leave it. But we can discuss it. I'm not interested in what you like or what you don't like.
Oh, that's great.
So good.
That's not interesting.
So good.
The digital age. Obviously, we're a slightly older generation, some of you. Computers and phones and stuff coming in. We had the computer that everybody used in the living area. And we had a PlayStation, which they could play on if two of them wanted to play. So nobody played on their own. So those were just two things that were helpful for our sort of family life. Because Thomas wanted it all the time on his own. Manage that. So yeah, we're not anti-digital stuff, but we really like we're a bit micromanaging of it. And every family has to find that place where there's. This is my best quote from Dave Holden, Sid Cup. The idea isn't to all like we all happily ever after. Lovely Christian family. The aim is peace in our home. Peace in our home. That's the overriding message. We'll have peace. Of course, there'll be some strife. We don't have to meet it head on and all make it worse and blah, 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 get it all out of control. Just peace. Yeah. Just listening, being calm, peace in the home. Okay?
Great.
Did I do it? Okay.
Great. And, yeah. Keep calm and enjoy the grace of God. I think we've had Mundral Bunravilipi, being open with others, the parenting course, the PAP. I'm not sure if all of you will be familiar with PAP, but I just want to mention it. So that's what we as commission do. Did you want to mention this, Pallumi, just so everybody knows?
I can talk about that.
Yeah.
So this is it's a service that is available primarily actually to commission staff and then church leaders and their families. We call it the personal assistance program. There's cards available and lots of different things. The idea is you can call them up and say, I need help with this or that, and I just want to rant, and they'll just listen, and you just talk. If you need, you know, help, financial help, emotional help, whatever it is, they've got resources for that, and they'll kind of just work through all of that with you. There's also counselling is available through that as well, and all of that. And commission pays for this, and it's available for commission staff, church elders and their families, and I think commission church staff members as well. If you want any more information about that, do email the commission office@commission.global, and we can give that information to you.
Great, thank you. One of the things I really like about that is that, so if you're struggling with your teenage daughter, or if your teenage daughter is struggling with something, stress, a disorder, it means that you get support, and also your teenage son or daughter can get support as well. So I do think that's a really helpful resource for us. And my last slide is this. Yes. Well done. Last question.
My question is around or how you kind of worked out
great
principles.
Yeah, that's really great. And I think we would all say, where's the rest? We're the young family. If only. If only. Yes. Try and have one. Try and build it in. Whether I know many of the guys have a Saturday, you know, so they can do that. I'm not going to say which day off you should take, but yes, have a Saturday or whatever day you do. Mine was a Monday. That was the day that I chose, and I would make sure I was most available for the children that day, taking them to school, going to get them, long tea time. Beverly's going to give you all the answers now.
Mark spoke at this conference last year, when it was actually the autumn, about rest. Mark is very good at resting.
Yeah.
He works really, really hard, 100 miles an hour, and stops. He is an amazing example. I don't know anybody, I've never met anyone as good at Mark at rest.
Yes.
On a Monday, he doesn't turn his laptop on, doesn't turn his phone on, I can never find him in the shops, and he watches football, and is silly, and he's really fun to be with, and yeah, he is a wonderful example of how to do rest, because he's got great self-control, and it's so important to him. To be able to function 6 days, you need a rest day, you need a downtime, escape, don't think about caring for anybody, and just, yeah.
So, let's stand, we're going to pray for you. Father God, we thank you for this wonderful room full of dedicated parents and soon-to-be parents and grandparents. And we pray your blessing upon every mother here, every soon-to-be mother, your blessing upon every father, and your blessing upon every child. We commit each one of them to you, Jesus, that every child in this room, every child represented now and to be represented in this room would be yours, Jesus. And that you would captivate and they would be captivated by you. And we pray, Lord, for your grace upon the families in this room. Much grace upon them.
Yeah, thank you, Lord, for families. Thank you that they are your design. Thank you that the home is such a great place to give and receive love, and love comes from you. So pour out your love, Lord, on us, that we might share it intimately and expressively within our family group. Whatever our family looks like, Lord, mismatch and oddball and extras, whatever that family is, Lord, thank you for the family, and I pray for an outpouring of your spirit on each family represented here, and for those these families are now going to talk to and connect with in their home church and their school connections and whoever they hang out with, Lord. Let your spirit flow through us. Let your love fill us up, and what comes out of us be an expression of that. And we pray, Father, for the next generation coming through, that they would love your word, they would love your spirit, they would love your church, and that they would be instrumental in making it bigger, stronger, more powerful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. Go and have a nice lunch, and we'll see you later.